Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go, this is it! This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Bow, bow, bow!
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Well, come along, it's the Monday morning episode. You get it on a Sunday evening, nice and early. If you're an IFS subscriber, that's on our Patreon, and you get lots of other stuff, among which is the Racy's Rocket Odyssey, which is approaching its finale this week. Episode 22 is coming up, IFS Turbo level, and it's been an absolute riot of fun, I think. And
it's been really good fun. It will never be released outside of the paywall, so
never.
It's pretty exclusive stuff. Don't think you'll be getting your hands on that, your ears on that, in 6 months' time.
Imagine if we did put it out one day, we'd have to go back through all these episodes where we've said it's never going to be released.
There's no point putting it out for free.
No, of course not. It's too good. All right, yeah, so here we are. I haven't really got anything prepared, but I've just seen an email which is titled Child Pig Murder Trauma. I don't know whether to read that or not.
Oh, God, yeah. Tread carefully, mate.
Yeah, I might read that in advance before talking about that. It's a pig story. My wife's family are Filipino. This is because the Pig Odyssey's going out to the freeloaders on Wednesdays at the minute, so this is some pig content. It's very graphic. It's very graphic. I'm not gonna. Well, we'll leave that.
Yeah, I mean, I've made that mistake in the past of like reading out letters that we've received, emails that we've received from listeners without checking first. Just say, yeah, we'll just go for it. See where it takes us. Very often it takes you to an awful place. And we're a pretty broad church on this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, we're not too prissy or precious about the content, obviously, but there's some stuff that you just kind of like, come on, lads. Let's not be daft here. Let's not be silly.
If you are thinking of subscribing to the Iron Filing Society on Patreon, there is a new thing. Have you seen this thing, Drops, that they've been sending us emails about Patreon?
Drops, no.
Drops provide a new way to experience your latest work live with your fans. With Drops, you can watch or listen and engage with your community live during the first release. Get your members excited with a countdown to the release. Elevate your latest audio or video content.
All right.
What should you drop? Recurring content or special content? I don't understand. Are we supposed to like be online or something when the episode goes out and people that listen knows. To it and then react live as it's happening?
Yeah, saying drop feels like it makes it more modern, more dynamic, more stereo,
shite.
4K. I think it's just something because that like you don't want to say release or put out. If you say drop,
drop,
you know what it makes? It makes it urban. And
right.
I think that this podcast lacks that sort of urban edge that a lot of the younger listeners are looking for in their content.
Yeah, well, if you are looking for that kind of thing from us, do get in touch and let us know, and we'll consider doing it. A drop.
Yeah.
I just like Patreon to just be able to put episodes out retrospectively. So that we could put the first 6 months worth or whatever on the Patreon, because they're not there at the minute. We just started the Iron Filing Society from a certain date, and the back catalogue didn't get uploaded because they won't let you put it out as like this was out in February 2018.
Well, that's pretty rare stuff. And you know, like when there's a classic film or a classic album and they stopped releasing it on many formats for a number of years on purpose.
Yeah.
Because the longer you leave it, like Spinal Tap, for instance, you couldn't get that hardly anywhere for quite a few years because right. they wanted to build up, like, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. They wanted right. to build up to an anniversary.
And then put it out again.
And they do it with lots of albums. You sometimes look for an album on vinyl and it hasn't been released in years and years because they're building up. You leave it 10 years and the value increases. That's the case with our original 6 months of podcasts.
Mm. They are available. They're out there, but you've got to listen to adverts in the middle of them. Yeah, they're out there on the regular
feed. Forget everything, man. Yeah. Forget everything I said.
Yeah, this is...
They're cheap as fuck. They're easy.
This is going nowhere.
Yeah.
This is going nowhere.
This is the sort of conversation we should be having off air. What's more of an on-air conversation is earlier on today I sent you an advert which I feel could be the second best advert I've ever seen after, of course, the Lamb Chops advert.
The Lamb Chop one, yeah.
Please do not ever send me the Pork Chop advert because this might be controversial, right? But that Pork Chop advert or the roast pork advert where people are like, he's got plenty, we've all got plenty.
Yeah,
I'll be honest, I've started to dislike, I don't want that advert, I don't want to see it anymore, right? Because we're all about the Lamb Chops advert. The Lamb Chops advert is one of the biggest cause celebres that this podcast has ever had. We got behind it more than almost any other project. If you'll remember, the sadly departed star of the advert, his wife got in touch. She became a convert to Top Flight Time Machine.
She became
listening
a close friend.
She's absolutely brilliant, right? I love that advert. I think it's great. The pork advert, by comparison, to me, that's become very basic, right? It's like when your geography teacher suddenly starts saying, have you heard this band, the Arctic Monkeys, right? Mm. It feels, I don't know, like, fuck that pork advert. It's the Lamb advert for me.
We did cover it at the time when on the back of the Chops advert, but it didn't get anything like the sort of
traction. And it's just become so mainstream. Everyone knows the pork advert.
Yeah.
Oh, pretty creepy.
Oh,
pretty
creepy. He's a bit sinister. Whereas the Lamb Chop advert has got zip. It's got zest. It's full of zing.
It's got sex appeal.
And vigour. It's definitely got sex appeal, yeah. And the pork chop one hasn't. So, you know.
So, since then, any advert that I get sent, particularly if it's for a rival meat, or even other lamb adverts, it's the pork chop advert, right? That's all I'm interested in. It's so easy.
I've never had a pork chop since I saw that advert again.
Fuck pork chops.
When it resurfaced. I'm looking now at the emails we got from Lil, who was John Benfield's widow.
Mm.
John Benfield from the Lamb Chop advert. And she says, keep on doing what you're doing and never fail to use the word cunt liberally. She said to us.
She's a fan of that word. And so was he, John Benfield.
You wouldn't get that from the pork chop man.
The pork chop. I just find it so boring. It's just like, I've seen it now. I've seen it a million times. Everyone's seen the pork chop advert, right? There's probably other podcasts, right, that do stuff about the pork. Have you seen this pork chop advert? Well, talk about sinister. Sort of had to give you nightmares, right? Right.
Yeah.
I'm not. It's not my cup of tea. I don't want it. So since it's sort of like, don't talk to me about any adverts because nothing will ever come close to the Lamb Chop advert of, I believe, 1984.
There does seem to be a rush of, let's say, more mainstream versions of what we've been doing since 2018 that have popped up, I think, over recent years. And that, you know, commercially, hugely more successful than we are.
But pork chop
ads. That's not what we're... But they'll talk about the pork chop ad, and we'll never do that.
Put it in musical terms, Andy.
Hmm.
No, you do it. I don't know.
Oh, me?
Tell me about a band that set a template and then other bands came along and did it more commercially.
Oh, fucking hell. I don't know. Maybe like Echo and the Bunnymen, and then U2 came along and took what the Bunnymen did and tweaked it a bit and made it bigger. and more ludicrous.
Queen and
much
Sparks.
More successful.
Dare I say, Sparks
and then Queen, maybe. Maybe. I mean, Sparks did ask Brian May to join them in about 1974. Mm. And he turned them down because he had this other thing going on called Queen that he felt confident was going to be big. Turned out he was right. Yeah, there's other podcasts, and that I've listened to some of them. I've listened to bits of them, and I just think, that's not for our kind of people.
I don't really listen to many podcasts. I find them
stupid.
Yeah, I find this stupid. I don't listen to this either. What's the point?
I only listen to it to edit it, and then fucking have to wash my hands afterwards.
And I bet you wince as you do it.
God's sake, yeah. And it's like after a strong drink. It's like on Dad's Army when there was a rewritten script and they asked Arthur Lowe to take it home over the weekend and learn it. And he went, no, I won't have that muck in the house.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, so, you know, don't think we're just being mean about other podcasts. I'll be meaner about this podcast and the other podcasts I do. They're all stupid.
Anyway,
this lamb chop ad, I never thought, after that, for me, it was like, you might as well stop doing adverts. They might as well have stopped doing adverts in 1984.
Mm.
Because nothing ever beat that. And when you see these fucking TV shows about adverts, some of which I occasionally appear on, and people go,
when Cadbury's released their commercial, I remember the first time I saw it. It was as memorable to me and my generation as I suppose the death of JFK was to my father's generation.
Yeah.
You sat the there. All of a sudden, there's a gorilla playing drums to a Phil Collins track. I'm like, what's that all about? And it's for a chocolate bar? Wow. Yeah. Wow. It really changed everything, right?
Mm.
Fucking hell. It didn't. Listen.
That kind of thing.
It's a fucking dreary idea, right? By a fucking idiot that's got nothing to do with the product, and even if it fucking did, who gives a fuck? You're flogging fucking chocolate bars. Don't lose sight of that, right?
Channel 5 do loads of them documentary things about stuff that happened in the past, and the talking heads will sit there and talk about, you know, how they felt when they saw whatever. And yeah, you know they're making it up. You check their dates of birth, and then you look at what they're talking about, and you know they were only 2.5when Frankie Goes to Hollywood got banned.
I've done it. They paid me £500 for the last one.
Oh, of course I've done it.
Wait, yeah. I said, what do you want me? I did one last year. What do you want me to say? Fucking say what you want.
I'll say anything. £500. What was it?
£500. Taxi here and back. Yeah.
I'll stick me fucking thought me off
for
£500.
I was born. Yeah, I'll tell you that I remember the exact moment I saw that fucking gorilla drumming. You want me to say that I thought it was good? I don't know.
Well, I didn't, but I'll
say
it.
Can you stretch to 600 for me to say that?
550.
Yeah, the lamb chops advert had the lot. And we thought we'd never see an ad.
I was going to say, the Channel 5 thing, the documentaries. Channel 5 have started trolling their own contributors to those documentaries. Because now they started doing ones about the big freeze of 1968. Or the London fog of 1933.
Yeah.
And they've got like David Grant has got to sit there and pretend that he knows all about the big fog.
Yeah, fucking fog. 32. Unbelievable. Yeah.
And it's like, really? 750? Well,
they trolled me, didn't they? Because they got me on to do the ad one. Fine, I did it, right? I think they got me on a day where I just had a big bill for something or other. And they go, I remember when they called, because I was on the way back from Liverpool from us doing a show up there.
Yeah.
And I was driving back and this producer called up and said, listen, we're doing this show, do you want to be on it? And I went, and I think I just stopped at some services. And there was a bill for something, maybe it was, who knows, fucking tax or a gas bill. The boiler broke down last year. It could have been around that time. Said, how much? Oh, actually,
what we really want to do is look at the great adverts in the context of the social and political...
Yeah, yeah, love it. How much? How much?
How many words?
You just let me finish. We want to look at the creative revolution that took place.
How much? Right? And please spare me the bullshit. Right, 300, I tell you what, I want 500 and a cab each way. I'll turn up and I'll fucking say any old shit you need to fill the gaps in this piece of fucking crap you're making. right?
This piece of crap that's only going to be watched by the likes of Andy fucking Dawson when he sat there half pissed on a Saturday night with nothing better to watch.
So I did it.
Of course he did.
The first thing that happened was they didn't pay me for fucking ages, right?
Oh, right, yeah.
So I had to get pretty aggressive about the where's my fucking 500 quid, right?
Did you have to resort to the letter before action?
No, but I can't remember. Obviously, you and I have discussed many times about the different ways that we can we pursue payments, and you're
put
a
the
real
squeeze on the-
you're a sage when it comes to that sort of thing. But I've got a few methods up my sleeve as well. And in the end, of course, I did get paid, but I was a bit fucked off with their attitude, right? So it's like, yeah, I'll do it, but I mean, fuck's sake, pay me. Don't make me fucking run around for fucking 4 months. Over 500 quid.
Just offensive, isn't it?
Just fucking, don't be cunts. Just fucking pay me, you know. Your show was shit. I made it better, right? and now you should fucking pay me. I probably dragged the fucking director or the producer's ass out of a fucking bind, right? anyway, next thing I know, I get another email, maybe from the same company, certain from Channel 5. Don't know if it's the same production company.
Yeah, we're making a great little show about the most controversial moments on TV ever. And we saw you on the ad show, and we'd love to get you on to talk about some of those memorable moments from television. And I went, oh, yeah. So they paid me 500 quid for the last one, right? Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, when you say controversial, what do you mean exactly?
Well, things that maybe stirred the pot a little bit.
I said, do you mean specifically, because I could see what they were up to, do you mean specifically the shows, the moments on television that received the most complaints? Long pause.
Yeah. That is basically the angle, yeah.
Right. Are you going to be talking about when I fucked off all the pharmacists on This Morning? Longer pause. Rustle with bits of paper, pretending that they're not quite sure what I'm talking about. Yes, that is on the list. Yes, and he chuckled. And I thought, don't fucking chuckle at me, cunt, right? I know what you're doing. You're going to fucking get me down there, right? And you're going to pretend that it's about talk about other things, and then you're going to fucking hit me, right?
You're going to ambush me. You're going to get a fucking pharmacist in the studio. You're going to release some pharmacists into the studio live, or drop them out of a fucking net from the ceiling like rats.
Like fucking wild rats. And they'll be fucking running around trying to scratch my eyeballs out. Yeah, well, I've been to fucking Millwall lots of times in West Ham. I know what an ambush fucking looks like, right? I know what a fucking ambush looks like. And you're not going to fucking get me that easy.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
They said, we probably will ask you about that, but we'll be asking you about some of the other things. Oh, what?
The fucking elephant shitting in Blue Peter? Yeah? Fuck off. You and I both know you want to fucking search out the pharmacist. We can get fucked, right? I didn't turn up to that because I don't want any part of it. However, they did cover it, and I watched the clip of where they were talking about me.
I saw it as well. It was repeated again the other week.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I think there was a couple of people sort of going, yeah, I think Delaney was probably trying to be funny, but it didn't really work. And I thought,
I think Delaney thought he was at the microphone of his weird little podcast.
Of his preposterous time machine podcast. It's called something like Silly Time, Silly Machine or something, I don't know.
Silly Sods.
The Silly Sod podcast. And he certainly was a silly sod. No, but they did. I think both of them sort of, whoever the talking heads were, said, yeah, I think he was trying to be funny, and it kind of backfired. And I thought, well, that's an absolutely fair and accurate summary of what went down. So I think you've covered it all well, pretty good, and I've got no regrets. So that, I felt like, don't fucking troll me, Channel 5. Leave me alone. I've withdrawn from public life pretty much. I just want to be left alone. I don't want to be bullied by pharmacists anymore. Anyway, back to these adverts. We thought we'd never see an advert again that we thought could compare to the Lamb Chops ad. Yeah. I'm not saying the advert that I sent you earlier today is in the same league, but
it isn't.
it isn't. But it is. Let's say if the other one's Champions League. This one I sent you today is certainly a Europa League spot in the all-time annals of advertising history. Not least because the product it's for is for the greatest product there is in any shop.
Yeah.
It's for peanuts.
Which is, of course, peanuts. Yeah.
The commercial's
salted
from
1990. Salted peanuts. Not dry roasted, not cashew nuts, not pistachios. Standard salted peanuts.
And the brand is KP.
It's KP
In my
peanuts.
Opinion,
yeah.
The best brand.
Yeah, my brand of choice to this day.
And what the advert stresses a huge amount, the fact that this KP Nuts are the market leader, because one of the main messages of the ad is they're number one. They're the UK's...
Britain's number one nut.
They're Britain's favourite peanut, right?
We should talk about how you get to look at this advert if you want to look at it while we're talking about it or afterwards. It's on Instagram, Throwback TV Ads, all one word. It's the
Which
account,
is a good account to follow. Should we have a listen to it?
Yeah, I've got it here. Here it is.
Shall I set the scene so people can't see? Because it's a little bit more complicated. I'll just quickly set the scene, right, while you're getting it ready. Basically, it's 1982, and a geezer who has a striking resemblance to Mickey Pierce out of Only Fools and Horses. I believe that they based it entirely on him. So if you imagine, he's a bit cheeky.
Just without the hat.
Yeah, he doesn't have the pork pie hat, but other than that, he's got the same sort of delivery, same kind of I think he's wearing a sort of tonic suit, isn't he? A bit like Mickey Pierce. And anyway, he's turned up at a house party in 1982. And he's there and he's on the pool, right? Right from the beginning, it's clear he's arrived at this party, as you would if you're a young man like he is. And there's a load of, like, sexy girls there. And he's there to try and get his leg over, right?
Yes.
Now, and what he's done is, he's decided that his approach to the night will be to arrive at the party with, I would say, over 50 small bags, handy bags, of KP salted peanuts, right?
Yeah.
And he is absolutely on one. I mean, it's like he's taken ecstasy, but this is 1982 before ecstasy was readily available on the party scene, right? In fact, peanuts...
An early version of it, yeah.
Peanuts pretty much were the ecstasy of their day in the early 80s, right? So he's turned up with all these peanuts. He's absolutely buzzing. And he fucking fires into this fucking house party with one thing on his mind, sex. But what he's doing is he's eyeing up all these birds, right, whilst showing them all the peanuts he's got. And it becomes obvious that what he's trying to do and what the lyrics of the song are about is that he's there to pull, and what he's going to use to try and pull is these peanuts that he's got. And he's handing them out to all these girls, and he thinks that they're the things that are going to basically get him the sex that he craves.
The song, it's a song that was a hit for Lena Lovitch a few years before called Lucky Number.
It's a rewrite of
and
that,
it's a rework of that around KP being the number one peanut. Shall we just have a listen to it and then look further at it?
Yeah.
I'm dancing at this party, letting it all hang out. I'm looking for some peanuts, but there's none about. I've got my number ones, my lucky number ones.
These lucky peanuts.
My KP nuts, they fresher longer in the bag. They give you lots of protein, which can't be bad.
We're having so much fun.
My friend's number one. Number
one. It's weird because he says, I've turned up at this party, I'm looking for some peanuts, but he's got like a dozen bags of peanuts stitched into his coat.
Yeah, he basically says, so, I'm looking for some peanuts, but there's none about.
There's none
about. And then he goes, I've got my number one. And then he opens his jacket. And if you remember, like, he's also a little bit like Sergeant Walker from Dad's Army, in that he's got those Spivs used to have watches and things like sort of tagged to the inside lining of their jacket.
Bananas.
And he opens his jacket at this party and he's got all these peanuts like inside, right?
Mm.
So you're right about that. That's strange. I think that he's like turned up and he's thought, he's peanut mad, this bloke. I mean, you know, like you and me, I suppose that's why this speaks
he's
to us.
Over,
And he thought, I'm going to go to this party tonight. And obviously, as soon as I get there, I'll be wanting to eat peanuts. Now, it might be the sort of party where they lay on free peanuts, like an upmarket party, right?
Yeah.
But it might not be, and I don't know. I can't be sure. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my own peanuts, but I'll keep them down. Like, I mean, when I was a drug user, this is the sort of thinking you have when you're in drugs. You think, well, I've got a little bit of drugs on me, but I don't want to start fucking sharing it around because I ain't got much. I wonder if anyone else has got some. Right.
And everyone's thinking the same thing.
Exactly.
They're all hiding their own.
It was the same with peanuts. People are like, I'm going to go. I'll keep my peanuts. I won't reveal to anyone at first I've got peanuts because I want to make sure. If there's free peanuts, what's the point of dipping into my own? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. You'll save me on for later.
So he's gone along. But the thing that you don't, you heard the song, but the subtext about the sex, because it's about sex and peanuts, right? And
it's on the same par as the lamb chop advert. It's all about
that's why these ad men in the early 80s, they knew what they were doing, right?
Sex sells. Sex
they
sells.
Were like, right, peanuts, great. Everyone loves peanuts. What else does everyone love? Sex. Put the two together, you can't lose.
Can't go wrong.
We're calling it the lamb chops manoeuvre. It worked for lamb chops, it'll work for peanuts. If anything, peanuts are nicer than lamb chops, right?
Mm.
So the funniest bit for me, Andy, you might need to watch this back, but when he first goes in and he says, I'm looking for some peanuts, but there's none about, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
There's a woman dancing in front of him.
Yeah, I know which bit you mean.
He squats down.
Yeah, it's something.
And he stares, and this is a prolonged period, it's not subtle by the director of this commercial, he stares at this woman's tits. And just in case you're unsure as to what his sort of character is or his agenda is, right? He also clasps his hands together in a Sid James style and rubs them around.
Rubs them.
Right?
Yeah.
And then
it's a thing last seen in 2020 when Boris Johnson was showing us how to wash our hands.
Yes. He wrings his hands like he's COVID. Washing them. And then if the joke's still not landed, he blows his cheeks out like Bernard Breslau does whenever he sees a naked woman in a Carry On film. Like, literally, like, wah! Like,
and then he shakes his head and he goes,
and he has to shake it off. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? He's there. He's arrived at the party.
It's terrible.
The cunt's obsessed with peanuts, right? But whilst he's fucking going on about these peanuts and he's got peanuts secreted all over his body, he's staring at a girl's tits while she's dancing.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack, mate.
That's the highlight. It kind of goes downhill a bit for me after that. Although that's almost the low point of it. But he throws all his peanuts on the floor.
Yeah, so he wants to create a scramble, doesn't he?
Yeah. And then he slides along the floor on his knees in among some shapely female legs that have been positioned for him to slide along past. And, he's... I wouldn't want him at any party I was at or was hosting.
He's fucking... Well...
He's a little prick.
I wouldn't mind the peanuts. I'd be like, say his name, Steve. I'd be like, Steve coming. Yeah, he's a bit of a knob, isn't he? And I'll go, yeah, but he always
he's
a knob, but he always turns up with plenty of peanuts.
Guaranteed 16 bags minimum.
And he's not shy about dishing them out. He'll be a bit sheepish when he first turns up. He'll kind of play it down like he has, oh, I haven't really got many. But I'm telling you, by halfway through the evening, it all comes out. And it's just, you have to part with shit. Like, he'll be staring at everyone's tits and making people feel uncomfortable. But boy, it's worth it. On balance, it's worth it for the peanuts.
You could just ease him out of the house once he's distributed all the peanuts. Just take him out the back.
He's pretty lightweight as well. He kind of goes into a state of almost peanut drunkenness, where he's got like peanut psychosis after a couple of hours. He eats so many. He eats fast. He doesn't pace himself. He'll like be munching a bag at a time. And then he goes dizzy and starts seeing things. And at that stage, you can just get him out of the house. Make sure he leaves a few bags behind.
He gets identified in the comments. He's an actor called Peter Lee Wilson.
I do recognise the actor.
The reason he gets identified. I recognise him, but I've looked at his Wikipedia and he's only got like one appearance in so many different series, e.g. Metal Mickey, one episode. Mm. The episode that he was in of Metal Mickey, I think this is diveable, this is more diveable than the advert, was called Schoolmaster Mickey.
Yeah. 100% I want to see that episode of Metal Mickey.
I'm just immediately seeing Metal Mickey with a mortarboard on and a headmaster's gown spinning his fucking head spinning
he's
round and round.
Fucking spinning his head round, wasn't he?
Oh God. What else was he in? Shelley, which of course we stole the theme tune for.
Yeah.
Crown Court, Cat's Eyes.
Cat's Eyes. The spin we were talking about that. Cat's Eyes. That's a spin off from The Gentle Touch, isn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. The Paradise Club, I remember that. Inspector Morse, he's been in Men Behaving Badly. Two episodes of Old Friends in the North. I think that's where I've seen him before.
I think that
he played Colin Butler in Old Friends in the North. That rings a bell.
I've
been in The Bill.
He reminds me a bit of, you know, that like we talk a lot and you recently got a T-shirt of it as well, right? I'm just watching it again, right? He reminds me of the bloke, you know, we talk a lot about, what was it called? Nosing Around, right?
The youth TV show
on the young ones, right?
Yeah.
And you know the geezer who says, why is it, right, that I'm old enough to get married, but I can't even have a pint in the pub? And he like then starts sniffing glue. Do you know the one? He's sort of bug-eyed.
Yeah.
You know that geezer?
It's like
he looks like him.
Well, it's not on his
Wikipedia.
Could it be him? I don't think it is. Oh. It's not on his Wikipedia page. And he's been in so many other things.
Yeah, you would
have. But he's well known because he's been in Doctor Who a couple of times.
Right.
So therefore, all of the Whovians...
They know.
...memorise the names of everybody that's ever been in it.
Right.
And they follow them round and go to conventions and things like that.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do, isn't it? Get into Doctor Who. Get an episode of that.
I thought you were going to say we should start doing conventions, top like Time Machine.
Well, I mean, obviously, yeah. We should do that. But, so yeah, anything else to add to that advert?
No, watch it. Who knows? Sometimes watch we talk it. About these things and the people who we, you know, there might be someone who'll get in touch. I might do some digging. I tried for ages to find out who was behind the lamb chops advert making it, and I couldn't find them, but it didn't matter because we got something better, which was the widow of the man who starred in it.
Yeah.
I'll do some digging maybe about this commercial as well. I might find out who made it, or we might get in touch with the actor if he's
someone's
about.
One of the listeners' mum was probably in it, and they can if they're a widow, they can get in touch. There we go. That's pretty much it for this one. Is there anything else you want to add?
Not really, mate.
We've had a good time. I think
I've enjoyed
myself.
Good time. Yeah,
that's the main thing.
How'd the predictions go? I don't think I did very well this week.
Well, you got 5, I got 5, results book got 6.
Ooh.
So not much change.
So I'm still on top, though, am I?
You're joint top on 89 with results book.
Joint top, okay, so he got 1 point more than me, so I've lost the top spot.
He got one more.
Effectively.
He got one more because we included West Ham Brentford from Monday night last week, which we hadn't counted in before.
I predicted a loss in that, didn't I?
Yeah, you said it'd be 2-1 to Brentford. You've predicted two non-West Ham wins, and they've won them both.
I know. I've got a bit. I've gone a bit grumpy, haven't I? I've gone a bit grumpy on West Ham. You know, when you get the ump with your own club. They don't deserve it anymore.
Yeah. Fucking, I'm right in the middle of that. So there we go. We've got all sorts coming up throughout the week. I can't remember what it is, but Friday is the last episode of Racy's Rocket Odyssey. Just upgrade your subscription to Turbo and just rattle through them all.
Yeah.
And then you'll realise that we'll be doing other stuff on the Turbo that you won't be able to listen to, and you'll have to stick with it. And you'll be able to pay your gas bill, Sam.
Yeah, exactly. No more world's greatest ads for me.
So there we are. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.